post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio, Fitzam Hatamarian. How are you, Fitzam?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Eamon?
Not too bad. Your team lost on the weekend. We'll talk about that. Oh, no, your team
won. My team won on the weekend.
Always getting it confused. Michelle Bertrand, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Eamon.
And your team did lose, never mind. What's coming up in the show, Michelle?
Well, coming up in the first half hour, we're going to chat to Kate McShay. We talk Asian Champions League, A-League and the Socceroos, the W League, and we're going to put our two bits in about the video ref.
We certainly are. We've got all the big issues, quiz dedications and more. You can email us, as always, nearpost2xx@gmail.com, or catch the podcast on the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. Now, we dedicate the show every week, and this week's no different. We're going to dedicate it. It's a double dedication to the South Australians out there. Adelaide United, of course, no need to explain them, but I will. They're into the Asian Champions League final. Good luck and good news for everybody. And also to Senator Chris Schatz. Senator Chris Schatz is the South Australian senator, and this is what he had to say about, the thoughts on South Australia building a new stadium for football. It has led me to the conclusion that we have a choice. Do we want to bid for and be part of world global sport? Or do we want to be a backwater for Aussie rules? That is the choice for South Australia. And Chris Schatz, I say bigger than that. That's not just the choice for South Australia. That's the choice
all
for the
Australia.
Whole nation. That's it for some
truth. Definitely. Words.
Okay. We're going to go to a promotion in the moment for the W League game coming up on the weekend. But before we do, we'll leave you with a question. Who scored the first ever goal in the Westfield W League?
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links. Okay, who scored the first ever goal in the Westfield W League? Champions of sport. Who are you? Fitzam, Michelle?
Is it Lena Kasha?
It's not Lena Karmas. No, it's not.
Oh.
There it is. No, I've been corrected by our expert Russ Gibbs out there in the other studio. It is Lena Karmas. Well done, Michelle. Thank you. It's just it's an age thing, Michelle. You know, I'm having trouble with names, players, you name it. Okay. All right. Well, something I do know about is the news. I know heaps about it. Have you got any news, guys?
Well, 31,000 people watched John Aloisi scored as Melbourne lose to Sydney, 2-0.
Mark Milligan returns to football. He played for Newcastle in their 1-0 loss to the Central Coast. And the rumour was his agent told him he was signing for the English side, Newcastle, so he signed. No. I made that up. No, go on, get on with it. More news.
Mark Rudin expected to play back in the A-League next season.
Canberra has over 800 paid-up foundation members 2 years out from their hoped-for debut, and Wollongong has launched their own scheme.
But you don't have to pay
for
this.
You don't have to pay, yeah.
We can announce, exclusive to the Near Post, that Ned Zelich, former Socceroo, is the number one football ambassador for the Canberra A-League bid. So Wollongong have Tim Cahill, who isn't from the area, but we have Ned Zelich, who is from Canberra. So fantastic news for everybody in Australian football, not just Canberra.
Yes, definitely.
And Ned Zelich and Ivan Slavic will appear on ABC Canberra State Line to talk about the bid this Friday, 7:30, if you're in the ACT.
And in overseas news, we've got Bruce Jeter and James Troisi scored for their club in Turkey.
Scott McDonald's Celtic side are still top of the league.
Harry Kewell scored again for Galatasaray in the UEFA Cup on the weekend.
Adelaide United tickets for the Asian Champions League Grand Final or Asian Champions League Final sold out in less than 1 hour today.
That's not surprising.
No. And Jade North, Newcastle Jets. Michelle, your team.
Yeah, that's not good news for me.
It's rumoured and expected that he's going to sign as a marquee for Townsville.
I don't know what we're going to do when we get to the Asian Champions League.
No. Well, good luck.
Give it to Adelaide.
Yeah. The Young Socceroos played Korea in a friendly today, and then they head for their World Cup qualifiers in Saudi Arabia.
And in the W League, Sydney up in the W League with a 4-0 thumping of Perth Glory.
And Heather Garriott scored a screamer in that game.
She did, and Alicia Ferguson, the Matilda, or former Matilda, also scored a fantastic free kick for the Queensland Roar as they won their game against Adelaide 4-1.
And
is that all the news?
I think that's all we've got.
The Young Matildas finally flew out for Asian Cup today in Malaysia. And hot from the postbag, Danny, organiser of Sunday Soccer in Canberra, he wants a video ref, and we'll discuss whether Danny gets his video ref later in the show. OK, we'll talk Asian Champions League. Adelaide United thumped Bunyaka of Uzbekistan 0-1. And I don't know what's going
what
on tonight.
What a thumping, yeah.
So they lost 1-0, but they're through on aggregate 3-1. They're into the final. They're going to play Gamba Osaka. What are your thoughts, Michelle?
It was an exciting game. It was till the last minute. I was hoping, like, I was scared that they were actually going to score the goals against Adelaide. But I think we can win in Japan.
You think we can win in Japan? Well, first of all, before we get into the next stage, Fitzham, what does it mean for Australian football?
Well, I think, again, I keep saying it's the biggest thing since the World Cup, and this is the biggest thing since the World Cup qualification.
That's what really, what the coach really of Imbos said. You're in good company.
Definitely. I think...
Although not everybody in Australia seems to have picked up on that. The other media...
I think some just cover it up. Obviously, they don't want to show it how big it is for the whole of Australia as a nation. And it's one of the biggest sporting achievements.
I mean, after what we did in the World Cup to follow it with that, everybody in the world will be taking notice of Australia now.
They certainly will. And, I think the good thing about it is, of course, even if it doesn't have high media coverage across Australia yet, for the football community, the football fans, it's fantastic, isn't it?
You know, that's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, and to see Adelaide and an Australian team do so well to get to the first final, it really doesn't matter about the rest of the media. I think we're going to enjoy the journey. And the thing is, it sends a message to the other Australian teams, the other Australian clubs, this is where we need to be.
That's right.
Definitely. I'm getting excited about getting up and watching, or not having to get up and watching the European Champions League, where I'm more excited to see Adelaide play and the way Adelaide have been going. I think
that's right, and I think that's exciting. A key thing. You know, somebody asked me today, what English side I support, and what. But I said, well, I don't. I've never really followed the English side, although I've followed English football. But I said, to me, it's the joy of watching football at 7:30 at night rather than 3 a.m. Yes, okay, the players aren't the same as the Kules and the Vidukas.
In time,
we'll get there.
But it's a different standard of football. But it's also we're watching our young players develop, like Brustito, Nathan Burns, and some of like the guys, Anthony Golek, who came on against.
Yeah.
And it's ours.
Yeah, and it's ours. So it's fantastic. So to see Adelaide, pushing on is great. Now, Gamba Osaka, I think they are the best team in the Asian Champions League. I've seen, you probably saw them when they played Melbourne. They beat Melbourne 4-3, but I thought the difference was huge between the two sides.
It was. I think even just Adelaide playing their second game in Tashkent as well. I mean, the home team played basically dominated possession-wise. What Adelaide did well was...
Oh, no, we can say we. what
they did well was basically, I think, holding back. They played with a number of players around the edge of the box, and they showed they can defend. Even the goal I think they scored was came off. One of the Adelaide defenders, his head to go behind.
It is fantastic, isn't it? Really, Vidmar has not just gotten to the final, but he's played in a certain way to go to these other countries where you had to travel, but he's able to set out his defence from the first game. I remember when they played Pohang, they've just the defence has been superb,
and I think that's his first loss away as well, Adelaide as a team. I think they drew a couple of games, but they hadn't lost until that point.
Tickets sold out today in less than an hour. I mean, people sometimes take these things for granted, but Adelaide United may never get to another Asian Champions League final in our lifetime, and that's the sort of thing that people will remember forever.
Oh, definitely.
That's right.
With the strength of Asia and the different economies and etc., the chance of a team getting through. Well, Adelaide probably won't be in the tournament next year.
I almost wished I lived in Adelaide.
Well, you have to watch it on your telly, Michelle. Unfortunately, you live in Canberra. Can we say that, unfortunately?
Well, we're waiting for our turn as well, so that's all right.
Yeah, our turn's coming. We're getting our team. Don't you worry about that. Canberra news today on the A-League. Very strong developments expected this week, so keep your ears posted. And then I think it'll be a question of, can the FFA refuse a team that has all the money? So wait and see. All right. Finally, on Adelaide United, yeah, you think they'll do it, Michelle? You think they'll?
Yes, I think we're going to win.
And we're going to win. They've changed the game. They were due to play Central Coast after the first leg, but they've cancelled that game, which is, I think, a good thing.
That's a good, definitely a good thing. And I think Adelaide have done well to have played, I think, 10 games in 45 days. So they're up there with the number of games they've had to play and the travel, the distance they've had to travel.
The distance is huge.
And they've already won most of them too.
Yeah, and they're already top of the ladder in the A-League. So, yeah, they seem to be like good teams get on a roll and it seems you can play on almost autopilot when you're winning. And you're probably on a bit of a high. But, you know, they were down to Perth, but they still managed to come back and win. When you'd think, like, 1-0 down, second half, having done all that travel, they wouldn't get it.
As you said about Aurelio Vidmar's coaching tactics, I think he played well on the weekend. He tried to give other players a go. They couldn't score, and he waited basically up to about 60-odd minutes, and he brought in his normal three or four starters, and they made a big difference. And I think that's what Aurelio Vidmar's done for Adelaide.
Certainly has. Fantastic for Adelaide, fantastic for Australian football. Okay, we're going to concentrate on the W League now. The W League kicked off, the inaugural round and the inaugural season on the weekend, Westfield W League. Great great games, great goals, and I've got all the scores.
Yeah, the first game was Sydney. Sydney played Perth, and it was a thumping of sorts, 4-0 that was to Sydney, and they scored, I think, a couple of games in the first
couple of minutes, so that kind of set the tone, really. So I think Sydney were the better team, and they are much more experienced, but I think the fact that they scored two goals in the first three or four minutes kind of didn't help Perth. But obviously Perth will get better. And interestingly, the only women's coach in the league is Nicola Williams, the Perth coach, so that's good to see.
Definitely, definitely. And the other games were Newcastle beat Canberra 2-1. Even though Canberra scored very early.
Sasha McDonald, the Canberra striker, will be coming in. So for Canberra listeners, stay with us. We'll have an extended interview with Sasha McDonald. Queensland beat Adelaide 4-1, and we'll hear from Kate McShay in a moment. And in the other game, Melbourne Victory defeated the Central Coast Mariners
4-0.
2-0.
2-0, sorry.
Yeah, that game was played.
Plenty of goals.
Lots of goals, and that game was played before
the Melbourne
Sydney game.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
And it would have been exciting to play in the big crowd as well.
Yeah, it would. And, it looked good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was 4-0 Sydney Perth. Yeah, but I enjoyed the game. It was good. And Heather Garriott's goal towards the end. And also, just like the A-League, it's good to see the young players coming through, watching them develop. I mean, this is their first time on a national stage for many of the players. So watching them develop and, you know, trying out the different skills and things, it's great.
And it's on free-to-air as well. So
Free-to-air, which the men's isn't. So another plus for the women.
Get on board.
Okay. Kate McShay, Queensland Royal captain. They play on the live game against Canberra United this weekend. And I caught up with Kate, and this is what she had to say.
I'm joined now by Matilda star Kate McShay. Kate is also the captain of the Queensland Royal. Kate, a great start on the weekend, 4-1 shellacking of Adelaide. How did you see the game?
Yeah, I think for us it was just good to get out and sort of play. The girls have been a little bit nervous, and obviously it's been pretty exciting with the lead up to the W League. So for us it was a solid performance. Still, we still have a few areas that we kind of needed to work on and probably didn't play to our absolute full potential. But like I said, it's the first game of the season, so we were pretty happy with our result.
Now, most teams are saying Sydney and yourselves are the favourites, and obviously after watching the games on the weekend and the results, Queensland, with their depth of Matildas players and young Matildas, would you count yourself as a favourite?
I think obviously with the number of young Matildas and senior Matildas that are in our team, we've got that expectation on ourselves as well to perform well. So, but you know, we've had a fairly disrupted kind of lead up so far. The Matildas girls, we had 7 girls away, and we lose a couple of girls to young Matildas this weekend. So for us, while it's an advantage having so many Matildas and young Matildas, it also works as a disadvantage because we often lose players for certain games and things, which can be quite disruptive.
Now you're on TV this week, Kate. How are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think it's just going to help football in this country so much to have a game televised week in, week out, and allow sort of the younger girls that are playing to sort of hopefully be inspired by what they see, and also hopefully people that watch it at home will see those games and see the quality that we play at, and then hopefully come out and actually watch us and cheer us on when we're not the televised game.
Now you're up against Canberra United. They lost to Newcastle 2-1 on the weekend. They've got a couple of Queenslanders as well playing for them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a testament to the systems that we have up here in Queensland, that obviously we have a huge depth of players, and unfortunately for the likes of Cara and Sasha, who were playing for Canberra, they were up against a lot of Matildas up here, which meant that they obviously didn't make the cut. But it's good that they were able to go and help strengthen the other teams so that the competition isn't so sort of one-sided with just teams stacked with Matildas or ex-Matildas. So hopefully it'll help to balance out the competition and make it a little bit more entertaining for people who come and watch.
What, any predictions for this weekend, Kate? Or are you not so brave to do that?
No, hopefully we'll win it and score a few goals as well. And we were kind of disappointed to concede a goal last week, so hopefully we'll just be able to keep a clean sheet and hopefully put some in the back of their net.
Well, you're talking like champions already, but who people watching this weekend, who are the key players for yourselves? Who should they look out for?
I think Jenna Tristram is doing really well. She had a knee reconstruction last year, or it might have been the year before, and she's come back and is in really, really good form. I think Alicia Ferguson also, who's a former Matilda now, she plays in the centre of midfield for us and does really well just to calm on the ball and has really good distribution and really good vision, so she's one to watch for us, I think.
And I know we're Canberra United. I'm based in Canberra, Kate, so I'm a bit biased, but I know Robbie Hooker's got a few plans for you, so watch out.
All right.
Kate McShay, the captain of Queensland Roar. Fixtures this weekend, Adelaide United versus Newcastle Jets, Queensland Roar versus Canberra United, that one's live on ABC. Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory and Central Coast Mariners versus Perth Glory, that's the W League second round. Now, we're talking about the A-League and the video ref. Firstly, as I say, people have raised with me the issue of the video ref, and we've had a couple of issues on the weekend. John Aloisi's goal, which bounced just barely over the line, followed by Dave Mitchell's outburst at the Perth Adelaide game, where Perth, I think it was 1-1 at the time, and there was a free kick just outside the box, and of course it was given as a penalty. Fitzham, oh no, Michelle, should we have a video ref? What do you think?
Yes.
Why?
I think we should, because that wouldn't have been a goal. That would have been a different game.
Okay, so there's the there you go.
Perth has been losing enough as it is,
and that would make
for them.
It would make a big difference for them if somebody had got it right. Well, it would have helped if the ref had got it right. But if the ref does get it wrong, you're suggesting that how would that happen? There's a free kick there, and they're giving a penalty. What would we do?
Well, the video ref could be given outside the box,
and it would just come back to be outside the box instead. Yes. Okay, Fitzham, you up with that?
If that happens, I might as well start playing chess then.
Why?
I'm not sure where they'll stop. I mean, yeah, fair enough, that was a mistake, but mistakes happen. Mistakes have been happening for hundreds of years, and mistakes will happen.
Yeah, but we try to get rid of the mistakes in the game, to have a fair game.
Yeah, it's you're taking out the human aspect of the game. Referees make mistakes. And I see also that Eamon's shaking his head. He disagrees with me.
Yeah, I do. But as they say. Well, it's a big sport now. A lot of money involved. And, if you miss out on, if Aloisi's goal didn't go in, or, for England, for example, they won the World Cup based on the fact that the ball did or didn't cross the line.
Right.
Where would you be? You could lose a World Cup final, you could lose a major game, basically because the referee gets a blatant decision wrong. If we had a video ref, we can, the game can be called back. No problem. Somebody quickly, they do it in rugby league. Why not in football?
Well, at the end of the day, it's a game. I know it's a lot of money.
It's a game.
At the end of the day, it's a game.
After all the stuff we have to listen to you talking about,
oh my God, you have to take that back.
Yeah.
It's the world game.
Okay, we're going to give you a chance to go again, all right?
Speaking to...
Do we need the video ref?
No, I don't think we should have a video ref. I think that will actually diminish the quality of the sport as a spectator sport. Otherwise, it'll be the same thing as what happens to other codes, where you'd be sitting watching for 2 minutes the referee or the video ref to decide what you can generally pick straight away. Sometimes they even come back and say, no, it's a ref's call.
But in this day and age, you can do it pretty quickly.
Yes.
Aloisi's goal bounced in, let's say that wasn't given, play continues, and within 10 seconds, they can play it back and go, yep, that's a goal.
Well, as one of our colleagues outside, Russell, said earlier, if that happened, if it was to happen that a ball hits the top bar, bounces in and bounces out into the field, some striker gets a hold onto that and they score a goal, would you call it back?
No, I think if it was already called, you leave it. But if the ref wasn't sure and decided to go to the video ref, then that would be a different story.
Yeah, which means the ref has to stop the game.
Well, if he's called it. And just wanted
if he's
to,
called it and he can't
yeah,
call
you know,
the ref.
Like he was for the penalty. He called it, but then he wasn't sure if it was outside or inside.
No, he was sure. That's why he called it and it was a penalty.
There is, there's more pressure on referees these days, and it seems in the A-Leagues, Dave Mitchell's right. They got that decision blatantly wrong, and Perth need every, it was just wrong. So why fit them? Come on. Perth needed that break. The decision was miles outside the area. The linesman and the ref didn't give it. By the time they flicked to the penalty, they could have easily said, okay, we've had a look at it. It actually wasn't outside the box.
Well, I think what the they could possibly do is they've trialled in Europe two extra refs behind the goal lines. That could be
refs.
Another thing.
No more refs. No more refs. We're starting to know.
We want a video ref.
I can hear the chant now.
We've got the technology. We just need to move with it.
All right.
Disagree.
And that's where we'll leave it. Okay, well, let's talk about real football and what happened on the weekend. First of all, Central Coast beat Newcastle Jets 1-0. Fitzham, your team beat Michelle's. How do you feel?
Oh, excited.
Watch it together?
No, I saw the replay.
Okay. So Dylan McAllister got the goal. Bit of a problem for the Jets. Still not quite performing consistently.
No, they were in and out of the game, I thought.
They were.
Yeah, they were not consistent.
No,
yeah.
Dylan McAllister had a good game. He had a heap of chances. Interestingly, the Mariners played three strikers.
That first time ever.
Yeah, and three big guys. And I mean, it worked. So I thought perhaps for the first time in watching A-League football that Laurie McKenna actually won the tactical battle. Surprisingly.
Changes his style. Changes his style.
After they lost against Wellington, I think.
Yeah, and he played three guys up front, which I haven't seen him do at all. And there's not a winger in amongst them. You know, Matt Simon and... And Dylan McAllister. And
even though Matt Simons provided that goal from across.
And particularly against Gary Van Egmon, who usually can outsmart most people with his tactics. Melbourne, Sydney, fantastic. 31,000 people at the game. Melbourne lost 2-0 to Sydney.
And Aloisi scored.
That now means one goal equals $1 million.
$1 million.
That's not bad. Not a bad return.
That's not a bad conversion rate, yeah.
No, and at the rate they're going, he'd probably be the same at the end of the season. But Melbourne, they were rubbish. Weren't they?
They were. I thought, especially around the middle, they played so much of that long ball. Which...
How many times was Danny also offside? What do you reckon? So my theory is, why play Carlos Hernandez? If you're the coach,
why
of
have
that
him
team,
there? Yeah.
Why have him in the team? If you say, right, Muscat and Bremner, you're going to kick it as long and as hard as possible, and Danny also offside. Maybe they just play when Archie's there and Carlos is there. They play a different style, not because...
They missed Archie, I think.
Yeah, I think they did.
The other thing is also, every time he starts Bremner, that's a type of game that it is. Instead of playing the two Costa Ricans in the middle, which they've done well for the first few rounds of the season...
I'd like to see Grant Bremner go home.
I think so. I think he's with, what's his name, Robinson.
Yeah, two for the price one. But he doesn't add anything to the league. He plays these wonderful long balls to nobody, and it spoils the fun. They couldn't break anybody down with those passes.
Yeah, impressed me more was that they were trying to push Hernandez to play with Allsop up front. They can't play him that way. He's not the type of player that you can pump the ball to. Give him the ball in the middle and he can create the...
No wonder he came off injured. I would have too,
Who wants to run with Allsop all day?
That's right.
But that was disappointing from Melbourne's point of view.
I was also disappointed Danny Allsop that actually, in spite of the style of play, he was then caught offside 100 times. I mean, it's just like, well, it's professional football.
Yeah.
I know it's a tight
margin. You learn after first one time.
Wellington Phoenix 0, Queensland Roar 1. Charlie Miller didn't score. Shane Smeltz didn't score. But the Roar got a win. An important win for them. We'll talk a little bit about Wellington in a moment. Adelaide United with Perth. We've talked about Adelaide. Adelaide 2, Perth 1. Adelaide top of the ladder. Now, coming up this week, we've got Adelaide Melbourne at Hindmarsh. Cracker.
That would be another great game, I think. I know they've still got a few more tickets to sell, but that would be probably the pick of the round.
Certainly will. I'm looking forward. It's always a good atmosphere between those two as
well. Hopefully Melbourne is back in form.
Yeah, I think Archie's got another week, hasn't he?
He's got one more week,
If Nate Fabiano's out for about another 300 weeks, so so those two are out. And I think Hernandez is injured already today, so will struggle, I think. So I'm expecting Adelaide to take the points. Sydney Central Coast, that should be a good one.
Yeah, and
I think Sydney's going to take the
points. No, I think Sydney's done the best they can now. Aloisi's not going to score another.
No, he's not. I'd like to see Anthony Golic make his debut. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I'm enjoying about the A-League. These new young guys coming in at 18, playing in front of 30,000, and he did well, I thought.
Yeah, they had two two backs playing in there from the youth team, and they did extremely well on the weekend.
Beau Bush was the other lad at fullback. So it's good, and it's good to see these guys coming through, isn't it?
Definitely. If it wasn't for the A-League, these boys wouldn't be getting the chance.
No, so that's good. Newcastle, Queensland, that should be a good one.
Yeah, Newcastle hopefully will be back into how they were before and take the points.
Queensland are always good away from home.
That's what I was going to say. Queensland play well, and they win most of it, almost always.
They won at home. This time.
No, it was away.
They beat Wellington away.
Yeah, it was away.
Oh, was it away?
No, they don't win at home. They can't.
Even Charlie couldn't explain that, could he?
And they're going to actually move stadiums, apparently.
Well, they're going to lose away this time.
No, they're playing Newcastle.
Newcastle's pretty good at home.
They are pretty good at home, and they've got a lot of players out there. Gone to play in Saudi Arabia, so, you know, for the younger
guys.
So they're missing three. They're probably the team that's hit the hardest, so... Mm. That's a bit bad, but Perth and Wellington.
Whoever wins that.
I don't know what you're laughing at, but Wellington have got 9 points and Perth have got 7. This is a vital, must-win game.
I think Perth will deserve to get a draw, obviously, off the game against Adelaide, and that would have made it a big difference.
Yeah, Adelaide played well, but I thought, Amaral in midfield.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's great, isn't he?
If he was in another team like Melbourne or something like that, he would make such a big difference. As it is, I think
they're not playing
player
well as a
of
team.
The team there for Perth.
I mean, they've got some good skilled players there. They're just not together.
They have. They seem to have got the pattern of play. They've got seem to have the place together a little bit more. Nikita Rukovic has scored a wonderful goal, I thought. That's good. I'd like to see him.
He's played well for the last couple of games.
He has.
Nikolai Topor-Stanley, centre-back. Yeah, they do seem to have sorted the pattern of out now, and I think they can only improve, can't they?
Definitely, and it'd be interesting if Daddy comes in, if they play with three up with, the
and
two guys that are there
Wellington
now.
Can't score.
No, that's right. They're lacking a little bit with Perth on the flanks, I think. They don't really... I mean, they've got Scott Bullock and Pellegrino down the middle. They're not fantastic.
Yeah, but I still think they're better than Wellington, though. Wellington as a team. Perth have definitely got a lot more to show.
Well, whoever loses, I think... certainly Perth. If Perth lose, they're on 7 points. Wellington would be on...
On 11.
Yeah, well, they'd be on 12. So that would be a massive gap. And Perth, I don't think they'd ever catch them, would they?
Probably not the way they've been going so far.
But, you know, if they get a win there, they're only 2 or 3 points off the four. So
if they'd won on the weekend, they would have been fifth.
That would have been...
Yeah, 7 and 10, they would have been fifth,
that's
equal
amazing.
Fifth. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, well, there's no doubt there's more football on the weekend. There's the W League, there's the A League, there's just football, 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 and it's fantastic.
That's the way we like it, yeah.
That's the way we like it. And, okay, that wraps the show. Coming up now, we have the Capital Football Local Half Hour. Stay with us for that. We'll have an interview with Sasha McDonald. And remember... Wherever you are out and about, if you are going to the Near Post, then
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda Stag drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to the local football show, Near Post. I'm Pete Plastic Papathanasiou. Along beside me this evening is Russ Gibbs. Good evening, Russ.
Good evening, Pete. How are you going over there, mate?
Nervous as always, but, you know, we'll get there. And Lee Gordon, good evening, sir.
G'day, Pete.
thanks, Lee. We've actually joined in the studio with a special guest tonight, one of the Canberra United players, Sasha McDonald. And we've got a massive half hour. We're going to talk about what's making news in Canberra tonight. If you've got a football story in Canberra for us, please contact the show. We're on the web at www.nearpost.blogspot.com.
Hi, my name is May. I am 7.
My favourite soccer player is Lucas Neal.
If you're going to the near post,
arrivez première.
Okay, so in some local news tonight, Ned Zelich and Ivan Slavich will be on ABC Stateline with Tim Gavel this Friday at 7:30 p.m. So that's ABC on Friday night. Ivan Slavich flies interstate this week to meet a mysterious A-League investor, and we'll have the full story for you next week. Meanwhile, on the 6th of November, a night with Ned Zelich, Danny Morris and Ivan Slavich at the Deakin Club in Deakin will be on at 5:30 p.m. Free food, come along, show your support for the A-League bid, and ask a few questions of these three wise men. The Canberra A-League bus trip will be on for the Sydney FC versus Perth Glory game. I believe that is in December, around Christmas time. Go to the website www.ateam4canberra.com. Sign up and show your support for a Canberra A-League team. It's now or never, everyone. Kofi Danning scores twice as the Sydney youth team defeat Melbourne 2-1. And in some Canberra United news, I believe Lee's going to tell us about that.
Sure, and Pete. The A-League Foundation members get free entry to the W-League game, so sign up. Canberra United lost 2-1 to Newcastle Jets in their W-League opener. And Caitlin Munoz,
mate.
Oh, thank you. Is out for at least 3 weeks with a knee injury, which is no good at all. Six other United players are missing this week for the game against the league favourites, Queensland Roar. The Canberra game is live on ABC at 4 p.m. Saturday, so if you're not going to Brisbane, turn the telly on. Sam Munro has headed to Saudi Arabia for the under-19 young Socceroo duty as an attempt to qualify for the World Cup. Canberra FC missed out on a New South Wales Premier League place, no surprise there. New South Wales couldn't organise a quality football program if they tried. We're only joking. And in Canberra, a new radio show is to start on Sunday week from 3 to 5pm every Sunday on 2XX, that's 98.3 FM, right here in fact. It starts Sunday football, which is more football than you can ever dream of in the Canberra airways, with hosts galore.
I think it's best we slowly try and take over this station, actually, to squeeze it out of any programming content other than football.
No, it's only a matter of time, Pete. And finally, Players FC offering training for anyone from 3 to 14 years of age, most nights of the week, and you don't need to be a member of the club. So go to players.wordpress.com.
Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links.
Okay, so I think we've got some more Canberra United. No, just some more Canberra news there, Russ.
Just a bit on the Canberra United injury problems that they've got at the moment. I was told today that Helly Crawford had a knee operation. She'll be out for 2 to 3 weeks. Caitlin Munoz had a scan on her knee yesterday and they confirmed her worst fear. She's got a grade 2 medial ligament tear, likely to be out for 3 weeks, hoping to be back for round 5 return against Adelaide. And Bronwyn Stubman, Ashley Sykes and Christine Walters all missed the match on the weekend as they're away with Young Matildas. But better news is Sasha McDonald, who rolled her ankle on the weekend in the first match of the season against Newcastle Jets. She's our special guest this evening. Good evening, Sasha, and welcome to the studio.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent, it's good to have you here. And the first question is first, how is the ankle?
Yeah, it's travelling all right, actually. I thought it was going to be a lot worse from when I did it, but day by day it seems to be getting there, so hopefully I'll be fit for the game on the weekend.
I mean, you're missing training tonight to be with us. I mean, obviously that's such a bonus for you.
Yeah, I'm sure that is.
And the coaches obviously wouldn't be too happy with you missing training, but obviously you think you're going to be okay for the weekend.
Yeah, that's Robbie, but yeah, it's all good. He's all sweet with that stuff. So
Did he have the frozen peas on the ankle soon after you left Newcastle? Or
yeah, I had the foot in the ice bucket, so that's a bit painful. Yeah,
frozen peas I find work much better actually.
So on the weekend, just to start with that, you scored a goal after 2 minutes, quickest goal ever scored in the W League so far, on the back of scoring the last goal in the NSL. Are you going to make a habit of this?
Yeah, hopefully. It's always good to get on the score sheet. Takes a lot of pressure off you as a striker, as it's always good to get on there and just let you more concentrate on the game and upcoming games.
And it was a decent performance on the weekend, even though you went down 2-1. You did create a lot of opportunities. What was the general feeling in the dressing room after the game?
It was a little bit disappointing knowing that we should have come away with the 3 points, but it's a positive look for the next upcoming games, and I definitely think that we're a top four side, and I think we've got a lot more to come, definitely.
And it's going to be get harder again this weekend. You're playing against one of the competition favourites of Queensland Raw. Let's talk about a team that's probably very close to you, what with you being from Queensland. How do you think you're going to go this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. We're just going to be able to do whatever we can and hopefully maybe come away with a draw at the least. It's hard with a lot of players out, but that happens in soccer and you just got to get on with it. And we have a strong squad and I think all the girls can step up for that.
The Queensland team themselves, do you know an awful lot about them? Which of their players, their many Matildas, are the ones to look out for?
Yeah, they definitely have a few. They have a very strong back line, so that's going to be a tough line to get through, but I definitely think that we can. And a few of the girls in the midfield, like Ish and Loz, they've been there before and hardworking. And yeah, Kim and Polks and Shorty, definitely, so... Yeah, it's going to be a big game.
It's a big, strong squad they've got. And yep. It's a chance for everybody to see Canberra United for the first time live on television. Do you think all your friends and family will be tuning in?
Yeah, definitely.
Cheering you on?
Yeah, all my family back in Cairns. Hopefully they get to watch the game because they won't be there. But, yeah, it's a good chance for everybody to see what talent that there is in Canberra.
Sasha, I'd like to take you back to last weekend, actually. I believe was it in the first or second half you squared a ball back to Amy Chapman, who ballooned it over the crossbar?
Oh, yeah, there was a few of them.
Right. Okay. Well, my research is a little lax here. So, have you made your mind up yet to never pass the ball to Amy again in front of goal?
No, I'm sure I will. I'm sure she'll get it in eventually.
Yeah, but let's say you do go down that path. At what point do you start to poach her goals? So, for example, if she's got a clear shot on goal, she takes the shot, you duck in and get a boot on it and claim her goal that way.
Well, hopefully she gets it in first time.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Is the operative word. I understand that Katie Gill was the girl who scored the brace for Newcastle.
Yep.
Yeah. And she had some jet lag. She flew back 22 hours from Sweden and got back on the Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah. So is there any thought of Robbie Hooker maybe incorporating that into your training regime?
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
It's clearly paying dividends for Katie.
Yeah, you can get us on a few flights overseas. That won't be bad.
A little story. My very first training session for the ANU Football Club was when I got back from New York. I flew via Japan, you know, one of those cheap tickets.
Yep.
Where they put you, you know, in an airport for 6 hours. And I got back at noon on the Wednesday and we were training that night. And I went to training. People say it's been my best session ever. I have not performed as well as I did in that very first session.
Pete, can you actually remember the session?
That's irrelevant to my performance that night.
I think it's because you're playing on memory most of the time.
I'm a goalkeeper, mate. I play on instinct. The crowd of, was it 1,100 people?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was that, you know, what you expected?
Well... The stadium wasn't, I don't think I could fit really many more people in there.
So there was a good atmosphere?
It was a good atmosphere, and we had a lot of Canberra supporters up there, which is a good sign as well.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And there was no flight or anything involved? It was a bus trip up and back?
Yeah, it was a long bus trip home.
It was a good bonding opportunity, I imagine. You know, how many hit-outs have you had before this one, last weekend?
We've only, a couple of us have come to camp before then and other girls have been away. So it was Saturday was our first training session all together. So that was kind of hard as well. But
Saturday,
I think we gelled together really good.
Yeah. People are aware of their positions. You know, it almost goes unsaid. But, you know, I know I come from a club where, you know, some of the coaches have said the best way to boost team morale, particularly early in the season, is to have a pre-season trip.
Yeah.
So did you treat this trip away in any sort of capacity as a pre-season trip? Or it was strictly professional?
Yeah, it was kind of... Yeah, we just wanted to get down there and get the job done. Unfortunately, we didn't, but we got a few positives out of it, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the 2-1 is an exceptional result, you know, for a team that only trained, you said, on the Saturday.
Yeah, right.
I've been told that you've you're an interstate player. A lot of the Canberra interstate players are flying in to Canberra for training for games. You've decided to move down here for the competition for the whole 12 weeks. Why did you decide to do that? What made you do that?
Well, my work up in Brisbane was pretty easy going, and he said I could have the time off to go and concentrate on my soccer. And I thought it was a good opportunity after coming back from a year off, and it just allowed me to concentrate on it more. And I think I've made the right decision coming down here, and the girls are really welcoming, and Robbie's looked after us heaps, so, yeah.
So had you been to Canberra before?
Yeah, we've had a lot of Aussie camps down here in the winter, so it might have been a different decision if it was during the winter, but I'm glad it's a bit hot up here
gonna be a
at
bit
the
warm.
Moment.
It's going to be a little bit warmer for you. The players that you played with on the weekend, obviously you've had hit-outs with them before, in some of them in terms of your time that you've spent with the Matildas. How does that go with the Matildas? How have you enjoyed your time there? You've played 5 games with them so far, managed to score a goal. How does that feel for you to be a Matildas player?
It's a great opportunity to play with them girls, and just hopefully I get the chance to play with them again. And it's very enjoyable to play with quality players like that, and to play against players like that as well.
So have you had the opportunity since the weekend to take a look back on the game, on the video at all? Has there been any sort of sessions where you've had a chance to look at that?
We had a quick look of it on the way back on the bus, and had a look on the opportunities that we missed and things that we can improve on. But, we haven't really sat down as a team and looked at it.
Can I ask what other videos were on display on the bus? You know I'm going to ask you this. And, I mean, you know, this is just to get an insight into how the team, you know, operates behind the scenes.
I think we had a few funny ones on the way up there. Blades of Glory and Ace Ventura.
That's not funny. I've seen Blades of Glory. It's a really... Ace Ventura I haven't seen.
How can you not have seen Ace Ventura?
Yeah, I know. You know.
You could borrow their DVD. They can lend it to you.
No, but nothing like, you know, Bend It Like Beckham or Goal or...
Sometimes I think it's just good to get your mind off the game.
Particularly
to watch just other stuff, yeah. Yeah, on the way back, I think we watched Sex and the City.
Hey, so that's quite good. I won't say that's an underrated show, but I'll just say there's something in that for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi. I'm Tom Samani, coach of the Matildas. You're listening to the Near Post on 2XX.
Thanks, Tom. We'd just like to ask you, Sasha, a little bit about your, you know, career leading up to this point in Queensland. So you said you started playing when you were 7?
I grew up in Cairns, playing my junior years down up in there. And then at 16, I moved down to Brisbane, and within a year I was in the academy. And, kind of went from there.
Mm-hmm. And has there been a discernible change in, I mean, maybe it's too soon to tell this, but in the way the old NSL teams were run and, you know, now the reborn A-League for the women's? I mean, obviously a big change in the men's.
For sure. There's a lot more publicity and a lot more people to the games, and it seems more like it's a semi-professional league, as before it was just go away and play a few games, and now it actually is a league and it kind of means something, and it's an opportunity for younger players, up and coming players, to watch people that they look up to that we didn't really have when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
We ask this question to everybody that comes in, but what got you involved in football in the first place?
My cousin played it, and I had a training run, and then I started playing soccer from then. I did a lot of athletics and running when I was younger, and soccer just bring that feeling that I wanted to continue doing it.
So did you go through the normal female route of having to play with boys when you were a bit younger?
Yeah, definitely. I was the only girl in my team up until about I was 12, and then I started playing in the senior women's team. So, yeah, that was definitely good for my football as well.
When did you get your first call up for the Young Matildas?
The age of 18.
And since then you've played a few matches for them?
We went to qualifiers, a few qualifiers in Asia, and then we went to Russia for the Youth World Cup.
The most exotic place you've been to? Both maybe from a football perspective and otherwise?
Well, Russia was definitely different. It's very historical and you don't really go over there unless you're for a reason. It's, yeah.
What time of the year was that?
Oh, it was in their summertime, so it was all right.
Okay, so only a foot of snow on the ground.
Yeah, just that. I've only really been to a few places in Asia, so they're kind of all the same, really.
You went growing up, you said you played in the boys' teams. Your cousin was the person that got you really involved in football. Did you watch much football when younger? Did you have a team that you supported or any role models that you aspired to be like?
I didn't really watch it when I was younger. I'm more into watching it these days than when I was younger. I just enjoyed playing it, I guess.
Who's your team you follow now?
Probably Man United.
Good
I
work.
Like Ronaldo.
No, it's Tottenham Hotspur, isn't it?
Not after this season.
they had a win last weekend.
Their first or their second, sorry. Their second win. Is it their second win?
Yeah, it was their second win. They did win a cup game somewhere along the track.
I was actually thinking the other day, do you know what a Spurs fan does after he sees his team win?
No.
Apparently he turns off his Xbox.
Doesn't always happen on my Xbox. So you've, like I said, you watch a bit of football now. You said you support Manchester United. Which one of the players in that squad impresses you at the moment?
Definitely Ronaldo. Yeah. He's got that flair about him and that's what I like in a footballer.
So if people haven't seen you play personally, I'm going to put you on the spot now, which player in English Premier League would you say that you remind you of? What's your game based on?
Yeah, a bit of an aggressive kind of striker.
Last weekend's game would have been right up your alley. I heard it was, a really, really physical game of football.
Yeah, it was definitely. I'm trying to tone it down a bit and more just concentrate on the game. But it was pretty feisty.
Oh, did it start to get personal?
Sometimes it does, I think. But that's just what happens on the field.
Were there any girls in the Jets team that you'd played with previously?
I played with Cheryl, Joey Peters, Amber, Katie Gill, all in the Matildas, yeah. Yeah.
How was that, Sasha? Obviously, you're a speedy forward. I remember watching you in the World Cup in Russia. Yeah. And you come against one of the best defenders in the world, Cheryl Salisbury. What was that like for you?
It's always good to get around her. That gives you a bit of a confidence.
And obviously, you're much quicker than her. Are you able to, does Cheryl have any strategies? Give us a bit of the insight there. What does she do to slow you down?
There's a bit of shirt pulling and body checking and that kind of stuff. But she's really good in the air, so anything that comes, it's hard to even get to because she's so tall and solid and stuff.
So obviously, with your pace, the team went out on the weekend. Robbie Hooker give you a particular strategy or tactics to the team, how to play you?
We've got quite a pacey team. We've got a lot of fast girls, so it was a lot of balls over the top, through balls to the corners and that kind of stuff.
So you've got Ashley Sykes, one of the fastest players in Australian football, I think, one of the squad members.
Yeah.
And also Amy Chapman is pretty quick.
Yeah.
And there's yourself. Who else are the quick players?
Cara is pretty quick. No one's really known or seen of her, but we've had a few races and she can beat me, so
I hear
that's
the goal
not something kick. I like to say. Yeah. But there's a few girls.
So that's what Canberra United fans coming to the first game, they can expect a fast United team playing balls over the top. That's kind of going to be the style of play, do you think?
Definitely.
Stop giving the tactics away.
No, I'm just trying to find out the tactics myself.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's one of our strengths, so we use that to our advantage.
You staying on the Newcastle game on the weekend, you obviously injured your ankle, and there's a picture of you on the web rolling around with a grimace on your face. How have you copped a bit of that at training?
Yeah, just a little bit. I haven't actually seen the photos, but I've heard about it. But yeah, that that's just what happens, I guess.
Has Robbie, I mean, I don't know if it's too soon to tell, but is there a big threat in this league? Is there a team that, you know, yourselves and Newcastle and most of the teams are looking at as, you know, the team that's going to be the hunted?
I definitely think Sydney are the team to beat. Their game was televised on the weekend and they've just got quality players throughout their team and their squad as well, so they're definitely going to be a hard game.
Is Perth going to be one of the easier teams? You know,
they've got with Collette and Devana, they're two quality players, so they're two players that can really hurt you, so you need to shut them down and that. But
I don't think Devana played last weekend, actually.
Yeah, I think she was out with an injury, maybe.
She's back soon. Bearing in mind that these teams haven't played together before, has Robbie got a team of people analysing the opposition? Did he send you out on the weekend with any sort of knowledge of how Newcastle were going to play?
Yeah, definitely. He's the assistant coach for the Matildas, so he knows a lot of them girls and he knows what their capabilities are and what their strengths are and what we need to shut down in the game so we don't concede goals.
And how did he respond on Saturday after the game? What was his message in the changing room afterwards?
Just positive feedback to that we definitely can win our next few games and get up into that top four position to put us in semi-final contention.
And do you think there'll be some shooting practice going on at training tonight?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
It's a good performance for the girls, really. I mean, it's their first hit out of Lee. We've spoken about it before before the show. They've gone down 2-1 against a side that's played, I don't know if they've played any more friendlies, but they've got a decent squad together. What's your thoughts on it at the moment?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think we've already touched on it. I think it's a good head out. It's very early days and some really promising results. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think this weekend's challenge is going to be an enormous one, but I'm sure they'll rise to the occasion.
I know we're here at the Sunday Football Show. We haven't even started yet, but we've already put our feelers out there. And, I mean, you know, I like the name Canberra United. And, you know, I don't think we've had a Canberra United in the history of Canberra. Have we, Russ? Can you think of a...
Not a Canberra United team. We've had a few others, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had, like, Canberra FC. I mean, that was we have one now, obviously. But I think it's good that they've... Sorry?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, they've resorted to a traditional name, you know, like a Manchester United, something like that. But I still think it's a little bit bland. So I know we've tried on the Sunday Footy Show. We want to come up with a nickname for you.
well, with our jerseys, we're a bit of green machine, I guess.
No, but you
they're
can't,
very green.
You can't
we
take
can't
green.
Take it, yeah.
Exactly. So we do actually have a nickname for you, but we can't announce it tonight, you know. So we need to have people, you know, a reason to tune in. I mean, they're going to tune in a week and a half's time when you play Central Coast because we on the Sunday Football Show will be broadcasting that game. Russ will be out at McKellar. We'll have a preview show half an hour beforehand. Russ will call the first half, a halftime show. Russ will call the second half, and then we'll have a wrap-up. So that's a big day of football because your game kicks off at 5 p.m. We're going to be doing the pre-game at 4:30, and the Sunday Football Show is going to kick off at 3 p.m. So that's like 5 hours of football on a Sunday. And you doubt me when I say that we're slowly taking over the station.
It's an awful lot of football, isn't it? We're going to have a bit of help with the calling. We're hoping to get a special guest in, a couple of special guests to co-commentate with ourselves, and it should be a good day.
Yeah. So I think with that, we'll wish you all the best. Hope you bounce back from your injury 100%.
Yeah. Thank you.
And, you know, I think it's great that Canberra's got a football team in a national competition.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're very well supported, so I hope everybody can get down to our first home game because it does give you that advantage over the other team.
Yeah. And I read about Tom Samani saying he was really impressed with the standard of play.
Yeah.
The Newcastle-Canberra game was particularly physical, but the play was amazing.
Yeah, for sure. It's promising for the future. So the better football we play, the more crowds we get, the bigger the game gets.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot, Sasha. Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Hello, I'm Laurie McKenna from the Central Coast Mariners. You're listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM.
Just to wrap the show, we're going to talk about the Canberra A-League bit. Russ, I had lunch today with Ned Zelich and Ivan Slavic.
Yeah, and I hear you've got some news for us that came out of it.
They're going to be on ABC State Line on Friday. But basically, the bid's going ahead. They're still trying to raise the money. Hopefully, have a big announcement on Friday. And the Ned Knight next Thursday, invitation for everybody to come along and join us, find out a little bit more, and show your support for the Canberra A-League bid. We've got the Canberra United team in. It's fantastic. It'd be fantastic if we get the Canberra A-League team in.
I think it's true that all members of the Canberra A-League bid will have free entry to the women's Canberra United games?
Yeah, that's right, Pete. So people who've signed up as Foundation members can get free entry, and we expect a big crowd out, hopefully, to watch the first game, Canberra United. I know there's been a lot of interest around town, not just from the young girls and their parents. It's interesting to see that, this team is attracting, the young girls and their parents, but also a broader audience as well. So it's going to be good.
How many members are we at now?
We're at exactly 802. So, that's fantastic for a team that doesn't exist. But, one of the key attractions also is they do get free entry to the women's game. So, it'd be great. And it is great that the women's team is the first team in the National League, because it gives, after women's football doesn't get the priority, if you've got a men's team in there first. So I think it's fantastic for Canberra that we've got the women's team in first. So we encourage everybody, buy your foundation membership, support the A-League, and get out there and support the women's team. Fantastic.
Absolutely, and I think we should do that. And basically, staying on that fact, we'll just wrap up quickly with the results from the Women's League on the weekend. Canberra United going down 2-1 to the Newcastle Jets. Canberra United's next victims, Central Coast Mariners at home. They've lost 2-0 to Melbourne Victory. Queensland Royal beat Adelaide United 4-1. And Sydney FC beat Perth Glory 4-0. But I believe that's about us for this week, Pete.
That is us. Thanks a lot, Russ. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Sasha and to Eamon for sitting behind us and pressing all the right buttons. Cheers.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.